Our scripture reading this morning is Matthew 5, 1 through 5, and the sermon is titled Experiencing the Strength of Gentleness or Meekness. Reading from God's Word. Seeing the crowds, he went up on the mountain, and when he sat down, his disciples came to him. And he opened his mouth, and he taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." Now, the theme of the sermon is, it takes strength to be gentle. It takes enormous strength to be gentle, especially as we rub shoulders with those who will not appreciate us. And from time to time, those who actually will make us a dartboard. Other times, just living in a fallen world, we know our own sin, but we're also sinned against. And it takes tremendous strength to be gentle in the face of that. So that's the theme. To begin with, I want us to think about two figures that we meet in the Gospels. The two figures were standing before each other on the pavement of the governor's palace. One was the incarnation of gentleness or meekness, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. The other was the governor of Rome, Pontius Pilate. Jesus is the prisoner, from what you would gather, and yet he is free. Because when Pilate confronts him, Jesus says to him, "My kingdom's not of this world. If it were, I'd have my army, much greater than Rome's, interceding to defeat you." But my kingdom's not of this world. So Jesus, the prisoner, is in absolute control. He's actually the one who's free. And eventually, after he's crucified and raised again, he will rule not only the earth, but the universe. But he looks like the epitome of weakness. He's frail. He's impotent from appearance. And he's soon to be crucified. The other, actually, from a human standpoint, looks free. But he's a prisoner to extraordinary arrogance. The tides of Roman history are on his side. They don't seem to be on Christ's side. And yet, Pilate is the prisoner. He's a prisoner in his soul to pride. And Jesus is free. Because Jesus was not only the one who taught the meek shall inherit the earth, he lived it out. This again is a paradox, it's a contrast. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Jesus often taught by contrast. The last will be first. The first will be last. It's in giving that we receive. It's poverty that leads to riches. It's in losing life that you find it. It's in weakness that God's strength is made perfect. And Jesus used these contrasts, as we mentioned last week, to grab hold of us, that we would see essential truth. Because we want to stop back and perhaps say, Jesus, you're mistaken. No man likes being known as meek. Perhaps that conjures up for you if you're in my generation or more advanced even than I am. Caspar Milquetoast, who had no backbone. But that's not what Jesus is teaching. Jesus is not saying, blessed are the spineless, for they will inherit the earth. He's also not teaching, blessed are the proud, because they will inherit the earth. He's not teaching, it's the fittest that survive. He's teaching, it's the gentle who will survive. Jesus is teaching an infallible law of God that is very powerful for living and for dying. The first point is this: strength of gentleness. And that is that it is the pattern of following the Christ-like life. Jesus himself said that he was gentle and lowly in heart, and in him we would find rest for our souls. How do we find rest for our souls? Through the strength of Jesus' gentleness, that he condescends when he is welcoming, he is approachable, he is accessible, that we can come to him with our burdens, with our needs, with our guilt, with our despair, with our discouragements, and he will give us rest that will strengthen us so we can get up to serve him faithfully. He's gentle. What does that mean? What does gentle mean? Well, it means that what it does not mean is this. First, it does not mean weakness. It does not mean going for and with everything. It does not mean peace at all costs. It does not mean lack of backbone. It does not mean timidity, lack of confidence. It does not mean shrinking from conflict when conflict needs to be dealt with by truth and grace. It doesn't mean any of that. It also does not reduce gentleness to niceness. You can be a nice person and not be meek, because you go with and for everything. It also does not mean that we're wishy-washy. So that's what it doesn't mean. The word gentle or meek of itself comes from a word in classical Greek literature that had to do with taming a wild animal, strength under control, or a soothing medication that you might take, or a gentle caressing breeze. John Wycliffe translated this third beatitude, blessed are mild men who are under control. So you might picture it this way. Let's say you have a wild horse. The wild horse is brown. The wild horse has that white spot on his nose. The wild horse runs very fast. The wild horse is built powerful. But the wild horse is untamed. He has to be tamed. So the rider tames him. And that may take some time. But eventually the horse is tamed, let's say. It's the same horse. It's not a different color. It's still brown. It still has white on its nose. It still is strong and powerful. It's under a different master. It's no longer under itself as master. It's under the rider as master, and it has been tamed. To understand this, let's look at Christ himself. Christ is the incarnation of gentleness. There were two things about Jesus Christ in his gentleness, both of which are true and both of which are powerful. First, Jesus never used his power for revenge, for retaliation personally, for personal retaliation or vindictiveness. When Judas Iscariot came with the soldiers to arrest Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus referred to him as friend. He was not making that up. He was not being deceptive. He meant it. He loved Judas. Even though Judas would never ever trust Christ and never did. When Peter denied the Lord Jesus, what did Jesus do? Did Jesus hold it against him as a grudge? Jesus responded in love to Peter. Jesus restored Peter. When Jesus was on the cross, he cried out to his Father, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Isn't that a wonderful statement for us? Jesus was forgiving the very men who crucified him on the cross. He was forgiving the religious leaders who plotted his death. But for each of us, it was our sin ultimately that put Christ on that cross. So all of those who trust Jesus Christ are all forgiven. When his disciples fled from him in Gethsemane, Jesus restored them to himself. Jesus was never personally vindictive. But secondly, Jesus was lion-hearted in matters of faith in God and in matters of the welfare of others. When Jesus rebuked the Pharisees for their hardness of heart, when Jesus went and healed the man with the withered hand in the synagogue, Jesus made a cord of whip and drove the money changers out of the temple because they were desecrating the worship of God by making all kinds of exorbitant money selling doves and other sacrificial animals, exorbitantly taking advantage of people. Jesus was lion-hearted in defending and living for the welfare of others and putting himself on the line for others. So when you put this all together, there's a beautiful picture. To be gentle is, first of all, to submit our lives to God and to trust him. Second, to be gentle means that we don't personally retaliate against those who do wrong to us. We leave room for God. But it also means that we stick up for the truth at all cost. It also means that we stick up for the welfare of others. And it also means that we ourselves are strong in Christ under His control. So that's the first point. There's a pattern. But then the pattern of steel-like trust in Christ. But second, we put steel-like trust in Him. I alluded to it a few moments ago, but when Jesus gave this particular blessing, He did so on the basis of an Old Testament passage, which is Psalm 37. And I want to read for us Psalm 37, 5 through 11. Because this is the basis of Jesus' beatitude. Commit your way to the Lord, trust in Him, and He will act. He will bring forth your righteousness as the light, and your justice as the noonday. Be still before the Lord, and wait patiently for Him. Fret not yourself over the one who prospers in his way, over the man who carries out evil devices. Refrain from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not yourself. It tends only to evil. For the evildoer shall be cut off, but those who wait for the Lord shall inherit the land. In just a little while the wicked will be no more. Though you look carefully at his place, he will not be there, but the meek shall inherit the land and delight themselves in abundant peace. I love the way verse 11 reads, the meek will inherit the land. It's a certainty. And they will delight themselves in abundant peace. So to have a steel-like trust in God is what it means to be gentle. That's where the strength to be gentle comes from. It comes from God. It comes from Christ. It's not what we do, it's what He enables us to be. So this passage was written to God's people. And God's people were dwelling in the land, but they couldn't possess it because of wicked people who were coming between them and possessing the land. There were wicked people taking advantage of them. There were wicked people mistreating them. There were wicked people pulverizing them emotionally and physically. And the call of the passages, trust the sovereignty of God in the darkness. Trust God and do good. Don't take matters into your own hands. Trust God and do good. What does it mean to trust God? Well, here's another picture. Let's say you're drowning in a stormy sea and somebody throws a rope to you from a boat. Now, for you to be saved, you first have to know, is the rope going to be strong enough to hold me? Because if it's not, you're going to die. Number two. Can you trust that the other person on the other end holding the rope is actually capable enough to pull you in? You have to believe that. You have to believe that God, in His sovereign promises, is able to provide what you need in the darkness to follow Him. Amen. That no matter what is happening, how dark it is, you trust that God is able to work good in spite of the circumstances, and that He will. You also have to trust His promise to do good And that would mean if there is sin that is destructive to other people, you have to be willing to trust God to address it in grace and truth, leaving it in God's hands, not to retaliate and destroy the person emotionally or physically, but you love the other person enough that you're not going to let sin that is destructive to others go unaddressed. That's faith. And then third, so we have following the pattern of Christ. We have a steel-like trust in Jesus Christ, and we have practice meekness in dependence on Jesus Christ. Jesus says, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." In other words, what Jesus is saying here is approved of God are those who are gentle, for they will inherit the earth. That's what he's saying. So he's saying that it is those who have a life that is characterized by Christ-like gentleness, even if it's imperfectly present, because it's never perfectly present in anyone in this life. If it's imperfectly present, if it's there and it's growing, that's indicative that you are one who is approved by God, who has a saving relationship with God through faith in Jesus Christ. None of us responds perfectly loving in every circumstance, in every relationship. We're growing. We're sinners, saved by grace, but we're still imperfect. But the question is this character in you in an imperfect way? Let me give some examples of what one would have to be warned about if these are true. Are you harsh in your treatment of others? Is there an absence of tenderness and care as a pattern of your life towards other people? Where you mistreat them, you feel nothing in your conscience when you say harsh things to them or do harsh things towards them. Second, are you always grasping? Is life only about you? And no matter what it takes, you don't really care how your actions and words affect others. That life only revolves around you. You're on the throne, and other people exist for your sake. Numero uno is all life is. Are you vengeful? I am going to get my pound of flesh. And you have a reputation. Don't cross that person. He'll really get you if you do. If you have that, and you have no repentance towards that at all, and in your arrogance, you say, that's just the way I am, and you're just going to have to deal with it in life. Brothers and sisters, there's arrogance in all of us. Let us not forget that pride and arrogance are so offensive in the sight of God. It's not just a personality trait. It's a sin that needs to be repented of. Amen. But if you say, I'm imperfect, and I struggle with gentleness. And God, I cast myself on you and I ask you to help me grow in this area. You can be sure you have the blessing of God. Because gentleness is a gift of God. So you obviously, if it's imperfectly in you, have God working in your life. I want to give you an illustration of gentleness, the strength of it. Now, I have marked on my calendar. I didn't mark it. One of my daughters do. I get a calendar every year from YWAM, Youth with a Mission, has a daily calendar. I have the start of baseball season noted. It's March 28th. It probably won't be very warm then, but this illustration actually comes from many years ago, probably the finest of moments in American League Baseball. The strength of gentleness, the Bible says, looks like a patient person who is forbearing towards others. It looks like a person who, like Christ, doesn't always assert their rights. It looks like a person who does their best to seek peace. Jackie Robinson was the first African-American to play Major League Baseball. And he did have this balance, and he was a believer in Christ, of strength, meek non-assertion of his rights, and patience. Now, by nature, he was very passionate. He was a very fiery person. But for the first few years, when he played with the Dodgers, he made a promise to Branch Rickey. He would not in any way do anything, speak any words of retaliation or do any actions of retaliation against anyone who heaped racial abuse on him. And he endured it. He really endured it. Why did he do that? First of all, because he was a Christian. Second of all, because he wanted to show that his race had the mental and athletic toughness to compete in Major League Baseball. There was a game in Cincinnati, and the other team, inning after inning, imposed the cruelest racial epithets on him. Inning after inning after inning. He played second base, and Pee Wee Reese played shortstop. Pee Wee Reese was from the South, and Pee Wee Reese was getting stirred by all of the racial abuse. So what Pee Wee Reese did in between innings, when it's customary for the players to throw the ball to each other, Pee Wee Reese, who was Southern, he didn't yell back at the team, and he wasn't simply silent. He walked up to Jackie Robinson. He draped his arms around him, and he smiled at the opposing team. The tormentors fell silent. It was love and patience and addressing an issue in a non-combative way, really, that silenced the tormentors. That's an example of gentleness and strength. It took enormous courage for both of those men to do that, but they didn't respond in a retaliatory way. So for us, let's follow the pattern. Strength under control. Not retaliating, but standing up for the truth and standing up for the welfare of others. Let us trust God, and let us, at the same time, ask the Lord Jesus to give us the gift of gentleness. Let us ask the Lord Jesus with confidence, because he's promised, if we pray, that he will give us strength under control, strength to serve him. Let us yoke ourselves to Christ. I close with this. Jesus said, I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Do you know in that culture that if you wanted a young ox to learn how to plow properly, you yoked it together with an older ox? And the older ox and the younger ox together, the older ox would teach the younger ox the paces they need to take to plow and how to listen to the master. Now, I have a neighbor who practiced that with his dog, actually did it. His dog is getting near the time when he probably won't live much longer, a golden retriever. So they bought a very young dog, golden retriever, to learn from the older dog. Let us yoke ourselves to Christ, surrender to him, and ask for his direction in this area. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, that you are the God who came into this world in great strength, the strength of humility and gentleness, and that in your perfect gentleness, you addressed our sin and evil by facing the evil one head on and defeating him through your sacrificial death on the cross, that you rose again. God, we all recognize our need for growth in Christ-like character. We recognize our need to become gentle, but not in the wrong way, not in an unhealthy way, but in a way, Lord, in which we don't retaliate personally, but also that we are people who stand up for what is right and truthful and for others. Give us grace to do this, Lord, through the Holy Spirit, for we don't have it in our own strength. We thank you that you will answer this prayer. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.